This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Played at the Olympics, has been several times, especially in figure skating, although Camila Vieira, who was just fell apart and flubbed her routine that could have easily yielded her the gold medal and there wouldn't have been any podium in figure skating, that didn't happen because of the falls and the performance that she had in the free skate. But we're not playing the anthem just for that. Hey, hey, once again, everybody. Kate Delaney, thrilled as always to roll out the red carpet for all of you. It's about the Ukraine and what's happening there and what we're seeing trending. The diplomatic conversation has stalled. Are you shocked by that? So this is what's now going on. A shell pierced through the bricks of a kindergarten in a village in the eastern Ukraine on Thursday. This is not good. Thankfully, the shell that hit the school didn't take any lives, but it was a reminder of the stakes that are real for all the Ukrainians who are near that line of contact separating the Ukrainian government forces from Russian-backed separatists. For weeks and weeks, it seems, we've got world leaders that have been going back and forth to meet Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, and making all kinds of what we would call high-level phone calls to try to stop this confrontation between Russia and the West over the Ukrainian crisis. But no go. There's been no signs of a breakthrough because it seems like the tensions just get worse. Hey, even the U.S. ambassador to Russia, John Sullivan, paid a visit to the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, where he got a response from the government to a written document delivered to Russia 3 weeks ago. Now, this document made it clear that the Russians laid full blame on the U.S. and our allies for stoking the Ukrainian crisis, even as evidence continues to really swell up, come on, that as many as more than 150,000-plus Russian troops are all around the Ukraine borders. So there's no plan for an invasion of the Ukraine. Is that what we're led to believe by this document? These claims about Russian culpability for the escalation, they say, can't be interpreted as anything other than an attempt to pressure and devalue Russian officers of security guarantees. That's the response in that document. So where are we now at this point? Well, you have the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. He's the highest you can get. He met on Thursday with an Italian counterpart. He laid out the same complaint that was in the written reply delivered to the U.S., that the Americans and NATO are ignoring Russia's core security concerns and none of the secondary issues on the technical details, which would be arms control, for instance, can be resolved until they agree on their key positions. Well, what is the key position? The key position is who can join NATO. So they're very, very far apart in what the conversation seems to be lacking as far as what Russia is concerned with. I don't see any other way out, but that shell in the kindergarten was a warning that maybe the people that are in the Ukraine should get out while they can because they are in harm's way. Oh, we knew this. It's just a matter of when. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when. And why do we care? Because we're invested in this, as I've said again and again and again. You can't just shut your eyes to it, because we have troops that ultimately, while they would be under the NATO umbrella, would be part of this in some sense, depending on how perilous it gets for the Ukrainians. But it doesn't look good, my friends. It doesn't look good. Somebody asked me a different kind of question, not about the Ukraine, but the thing that unites us all or divides us all, and that would be COVID. Somebody said to me today, just these three words, is the pandemic over? Because as I have trumpeted on this show, cases are plummeting across the United States. 73% of us are immune to Omicron, apparently. That's the latest thing that I've heard. Are we now going to be an endemic society? Is that what it's going to be? Is it endemic? And is the pandemic over? So at this point, to me, I don't know. Do you say it's over? I think we just keep moving. I've said this again and again. Help the vulnerable and everybody else gets on with it. Do whatever you can to help people that are vulnerable, because we're in the midst of a wave of milder infections. Even countries around the world are dialing back whatever those restrictions are that they had. Messaging is different. People are starting to assume we've already had our time with this go-around of COVID, and this is all tailing off. But is that really the case? Is it over everywhere? And if it's not over everywhere, does that mean it's still on? Well, we have supply chains that are messed up. We have inflation that's starting to soar. So we have the rippling effects of what's happened with COVID-19. But as far as what day-to-day is, I think it is a step in that endemic direction. And that's what it feels like to me. So those three words, how do you answer that? Is the pandemic, it's really four, is the pandemic over? And are we in a different phase? Are we adopting new rules? Yes, we are in so many states. And what's the reason for that? Because of the cases that have gone down. Are we returning to a more normal existence? Are more people returning back to office buildings to work? There are more companies that are considering doing that, where they had waved that off in the beginning of the year because of Omicron. And many of the companies are saying that while they do like the idea of some kind of hybrid form of work, where they could save some money in some areas, they also like the idea of getting people connecting again. I don't think we have any kind of a defined finish line. I don't know that there's not a definite end. Where we're used to a beginning, a middle, an end, I don't think there's a definite what we would call end. Because it's just where we're going. It's just the movement in that direction. But I think it's a good movement. I think the plan is you keep doing what you're doing and you monitor signs of virus, of any kind of a surge, any kind of a breakout infection, any kind of a new variant, and cross your fingers and cross your heart and everything else that we won't go back in that direction. How's that for an answer? We take you to Beijing coming up.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money in a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Ask me that in the mailbag. What's happening? How many medals does the U.S. have? So I'm glad that people are supporting the athletes. It's been a strange Olympics, to say the least. But there have been some bright moments for America, and there have been some really depressing moments. Mikhail Shiffrin, who doesn't have anything to prove, by the way, is an incredible skier. And has been so candid in the things that she said when she's had to answer these questions after she doesn't finish these important runs that would, you know, put her in the medal contention, but instead it knocks her out. But barring all of that, the U.S. has 21 medals total, 8 gold, 8 silver, 5 bronze. Norway, they just crush us in these alpine sports, 29 total, 14 of them gold. The Russian Olympic Committee, 26. Germany, 22. The story that everybody's talking about is, I mean, could the IOC be more corrupt? It's ridiculous is what it is. Every time I see Thomas Bach and whatever he's talking about, I'm always very disturbed by the Kamila Valieva's performance and ripping the entourage. They should have never had her perform in the first place because she tested positive. And we know if you test positive, they're so insane about how many tests they take for doping. How is that fair? But that's what happened. So what happens is this 15-year-old struggles through her performance and falls several times, comes in fourth, is practically hysterical when she gets off the ice, just struggling, trying to compose herself. And where, you know, what's happening to this 15-year-old girl? They're destroying her is what's happening there. The people around her screwed up, and the Olympics screwed up. Anybody, any governing body that had a say in this should have never let this continue. Then she wouldn't have had this moment. While it would have been dramatic and she's cut out, now it's even worse as to what has happened to her. She's a minor athlete, 15. It's ridiculous. All the scrutiny, which they should have had the scrutiny over the past week for testing positive for a banned heart medication. She was provisionally suspended by the Russian anti-doping agency, then reinstated by a disciplinary panel, then cleared to compete by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. The scenario of this is insane. And I don't know, should there be, and this is something people are questioning, a minimum age limit for Olympic competition? Should it be a higher number? Should they be older watching her performance and then seeing when she came off the ice, the crazy way that all unfolded and the drama and the hysterics over what happened was just awful to watch. So she didn't medal in the final. The U.S. didn't medal, or they did medal, but they didn't medal in the gold sense because the Canadians topped the U.S. women for hockey gold, if you didn't see it. The team got behind in the first period, and they just never could rally back. So they did win a silver. It's that battle, really. It always comes down to the Canadians and the Americans. But Canada got a 3-2 win over the U.S. And, you know, at the beginning they led 3-0 in the second period of the game. So they were really putting it to the United States. They made it much more interesting later in this game. But this rivalry, I think, just will continue to live on because this is what it seems to come down to each and every Olympics, these two teams. And a lot of the Canadian women play hockey for teams in the United States in the college ranks. So many of them know each other in different ways, too. But that's it. So it is a medal. That part is great. But it's not the medal that was gold like the last time around. The Canadians take it back is what they do. They took it back. So the games are winding down, not over yet, but getting closer to that moment, to the close of the games. And will this be billed as a successful Winter Olympics? I think some of the people that competed who were just trying to do their best and win medals for their countries and to represent and to individually feel good about all that they've poured into it would say it was. I think with figure skating, it was a disaster, just an incredible disaster, and things should be changed there to make it crystal clear what happens when you come up with a positive drug test. But there are, like I said, other things that come out of this that are interesting when you look at some of the events. You know, the 21 medals, 8 gold in now, what has it been, 15 days, heading into that 16th day. So there was the highs and lows that you would expect, because there's going to always be those. But, you know, it's now that those final couple of things that we like to watch, I suppose, including maybe the close of this, and how many medals are U.S. medals and how many go to other teams, and, you know, maybe new sports that you discovered, or maybe you discovered you still don't like winter sports. right? You don't care about the biathlon or the skiing half pipe or speed skating or curling or ski cross or any of that. I still think that part of the reason why you don't have big viewership is because Summer Olympics are more popular. And maybe it's the whole name thing. When you get big names that you talk about in the United States, I mean, then the focus is on those big names. Like, we had Michael Phelps forever and ever in the pool, and who knew what he was going to do next? Would you have missed Michael Phelps in the pool? No, because you wanted to see what was going to happen. How many medals is this inhuman man going to win in the pool? And you watched him grow up each and every single Olympics. And other swimmers, Katie Ledecky, and there's so many stories there, and so many stories when it came to track and field. And I think there is more of a pull toward the Summer Olympics. And it also could be, what are you playing? So in your neighborhood, what did you grow up doing? What do your kids do, or grandkids, or you know, what is the norm? And if it's what you see and do and like, then you watch it. But if it's not, you're kind of meh about it. That's what I think. Like, maybe I'll watch this. Maybe I'll see what happens. Especially, I think, with Michaela Schifrin, the build-up for her. And I think she's awesome, and I wanted to watch the Olympics for her because I like to see the skiing in all forms. The slalom, the downhill, the whatever. Why? Because I sure can't do it. Every time I skied, half the time I was on my butt trying to figure out a way, how do I get off this run? What am I doing? But I've always loved watching it. But I like watching the competition of sports across the board, so I may be an anomaly. And most people, I believe, have an affinity for one or the other. You either like the Summer Games because you can relate to it better, or maybe you like them both, but you like the Winter Games, right? Just depends. So I'll be curious to see what ultimately the ratings are for the games, and of course we'll have those for you once it all wraps up. What did it look like throughout the whole thing? What did it look like? All right, this isn't about medals. It might be about popularity because it's so early, but it's always fun to read the tea leaves, politically speaking. The annual Conservative Political Action Conference that is scheduled for February 24th through 27th in Orlando pretty soon is really going to be about, I think, whether Trump's running again, Make America Great Again Part 2, and how many people will show up for that. But they do these straw polls. And in these straw polls, you know, really it's Trump versus DeSantis, the governor of Florida. That's the real showdown, I think, for CPAC. DeSantis is considering running, wants to be the nominee. There's no doubt about it. People have been talking about it now for over a year. Stay with us.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's reports of ongoing shelling in Russian separatist-controlled areas of Ukraine. Some say it may lay the groundwork for a Russian invasion.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed the United Nations Security Council as the tensions between Ukraine and Russia continue to unfold, and President Joe Biden says an invasion is still near.
I'm mindful that some have called into question our information, recalling previous instances where intelligence ultimately did not bear out. But let me be clear. I am here today not to start a war, but to prevent one.
Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin added that the U.S. government is not seeing any kind of withdrawal from Russian troops at Ukraine's border, instead seeing Russia adding to its capabilities and troops, even today. From the Washington Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
This is USA Radio News. California Governor Gavin Newsom says the state is changing direction to fight the coronavirus.
We move out of the pandemic phase and we move into a phase which should allow you confidence that we are not walking away, that we're taking the lessons learned and we're leaning into the future.
California Governor Gavin Newsom says the state is changing the direction to fight the coronavirus. He says they're moving out of crisis and looking towards prevention as well as quick reactions to outbreaks without mandates. He says mitigation efforts like masks won't be required but will still be encouraged for safety. Also, people who are protesting COVID mandates in Canada have moved back from border crossings, but they're still in downtown Ottawa. Police have begun to make arrests for those few individuals who are causing violence, but other protesters are still remaining. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get cloudy. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Opinions about the figure skating and wrote me as such. I got one. I'll just sum it up. I got this one from Tommy, who is listening to us in Austin, Texas, and he says, Katie, my wife and I have been watching a little bit of the Olympics. I do feel a sense of kind of supporting the athletes, but I have to tell you, figure skating, I just can't stomach all this nonsense with this 15-year-old from Russia. She should have gotten fourth place. She should have not competed. And we know it's not really on her. It's on the idiots around her. But what a sad thing to see. Traumatizing to watch this young girl really fall apart on the ice. She's just a kid. And it really shows you all the problems there are with some of the Olympic sports and the governing bodies, and especially figure skating, which I've heard from a few of my friends that have daughters in figure skating, just how nasty and backbiting and ugly it can be on an amateur level, not even speaking of the high quality of what somebody would have to get to the Olympics. But I guess the good news is the American girls, while they did not win, they were certainly trying to be very, very competitive, and it was fun to watch some of them skate and some of the others skate too as well. So that was my shout out. I don't care about what the ratings are. I'm sure NBC does, and I guess they won't be very high. And I think you're right when you say the Winter Olympics just aren't that popular. I do agree with that. I mean, it's what I've been saying, that they're not that popular, and that's probably part of the reason, right? Yeah, definitely. All right, here's one from Manny, who says, Kate, are we in for another storm? Wow. I just keep hearing this thing about look out if you're in Oklahoma. I live in Oklahoma City. It might just miss us, I guess, from Oklahoma to northern Maine. We've got this winter weather alert again. And they're talking about snow in some areas, thunderstorms. But I guess in Oklahoma and probably in your area, it's more about the potential for tornadoes and the havoc that that could really rip of, as far as some of the communities are concerned. You know it because you live in that tornado area, too. It always scares the bejesus out of me. Because even though sometimes there are warnings, you just never, ever know. It always makes me think that maybe even though it costs a bundle, I should have some sort of storm shelter. You know what? It's funny you say that because more people, every time there is weather like that, more people in Tornado Alley talk about, okay, so what kind of bunker, what kind of shelter could we get, right? You know, you talk about New Orleans, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Nashville, Tennessee, Montgomery, Alabama, Atlanta, severe storm, you know, hail, damaging winds, up to 60 miles an hour, all of that, and possibly tornadoes. So, you know, what they always say is stay close to the weather information. Have a plan for what you're going to do. But you can't have a plan, really, for tornadoes other than a shelter, other than here it comes. Here's the funnel. We're getting into the basement. We're going into wherever. We're going into the bunker, and we're closing it. So if the house around us goes down, we're not going down. But you're right. They cost significant amount of money, thousands and thousands of, to get a good one, thousands of dollars. So is it worth it? If you see around you consistently that that's the story, then maybe it is worth it, right? Or maybe it's worth finding a way that you can somehow finagle it, that financially it's not a crusher. Especially some places like Alabama, how many times do we hear about watches and warnings and then horrible tornadoes in parts of Alabama? And there's some areas where you just know it is eeny, meeny, miny, mo, but it is just getting closer. Like, it's just too close for comfort. Yeah, I grew up in hurricane territory, and I went through a horrific one. But there's so much more time for a hurricane to clear out, to get that warning, to board things up, to leave town, than there is with a tornado. So, yeah, there's a big difference. So look out for this weather. Thanks for bringing that up. Look out for this weather that's coming because it's going to be nasty in some places. It may just be nasty with the rain and the hail and that kind of thing. And we just went through crazy temperature drops in the DFW area in Texas and lots of rain, but nothing as far as tornadoes are concerned anyway. Big difference there. All right, this one is from Tony, who says, Kate, this nonsense with Russia, it just makes you want to blow them out of the water. Yes, I know we can't do that diplomacy, doing everything you have to do to tiptoe around Putin. But wouldn't you just love to crack him in the head? He has such a smirk on his face, it seems, every time he talks about anything related to the West and NATO, and what's going on with the Ukraine and this nonsense of reports back and forth. I think he is the puppet master, and he's trying to pull every string that he can possibly pull, and it's his play, and we are all just the participants in it. Yeah, well said, as far as we're the participants in it, because he does control the game, you're right. He's got the weapons pointed, he's the one that can make the call to go into the Ukraine and then sort it out after that. But would he really do that? He also knows what's at stake with a NATO attack and more forces ramming up against him. I'm certainly not looking for that. Do we want World War III? The answer to it is no, we do not want that to happen. And it's, you know, every time I listen to Annie Blinken talk, who's the Secretary of State, he talks about these dire possibilities that Russia could use as pretext for an intervention, including staging a chemical weapons attack. That, my friends, is scary. He spoke at the UN Security Council on Thursday, and that's one of the things he said, you know, that they could fabricate a terrorist bombing inside Russia, a fake mass grave, a staged drone attack on civilians, fake or even real attack using chemical weapons. I mean, that would be twisted, wouldn't it, if he used a chemical attack on some of his own people just to make it seem like this was something to do with the Ukraine. But that's exactly the kind of nonsense that he pulls. In the meanwhile, you got thousands and thousands of people that are in harm's way at this point. But he has the moves. He's the one who does control what's happening. He makes the first move, or he doesn't make the move, and he pulls back. But that's not happening. There doesn't seem to be any pullback whatsoever. All right, this one is from MacAttack. Delaney, I'm listening to what you're talking about with this Freedom Convoy and what's happening at the bridges in Canada, and I guess they're arresting some of the demonstrators. They did that on Thursday, and there's just been so long with this block that they're not budging. So you have so many checkpoints between the United States in Canada, and while this is a big one and it's definitely pinching commerce between the two, the truckers have, I think, been very deliberate in what they're doing. And they have the truck horns and the music that are blaring constantly since late January, but apparently it's a little more quiet. And you've got officers more on the scene, and you have lots of demonstrators who are protesting the coronavirus restrictions and Trudeau. But it doesn't look like it's completely over in Ottawa. It's not completely over because they've been handing out flyers warning of criminal charges and the possible seizure of their vehicle, their truck. There's just trucks, though, that were refueled by volunteers who had cans to refuel them, help them. And there's fencing around the Parliament Hill, they call it, on the side of the street where the demonstrators have their sort of encampments. So now this is like a standoff. And remember, Trudeau this week became the first leader to invoke the Emergencies Act and said that only people with lawful reasons can enter the area, and unlawful protesters have to leave, and they're not going to have access. So you've had the University of Ottawa that had to move online. They've increased their campus security. So much has changed because of this, what they call Freedom Convoy. And yeah, their police can leave tickets, and it's just the truck has been parked there, as they're saying, illegally. But, are they going to really pay the tickets, or what happens after maybe this all wraps up? But it just doesn't seem in Ottawa that there's a real solid end to this. The Emergencies Act, though, gives them more power to regulate the protests and track the financing. So now there's kind of a tougher debate. What are they going to do with this? Trudeau said he didn't invoke the act to deploy the military to suspend rights or freedom of expression. But there is frustration about these blockades, and when do they stop? This is a really serious resistance. It's interesting to watch this play out. Hey, you can email me day or night, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out, just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Next guest. The 64th annual Daytona 500 is almost here, and I've covered a few of these. They're so fun. So check this out. The Federation of State Beef Councils, on behalf of the Beef Checkoff, is partnering with the Daytona International Speedway to sponsor the 41st season opening race for NASCAR Xfinity Series, The Beef. It's What's for Dinner 300. So that event is happening on Saturday. And guess who we have to talk about what we can do with beef? Josh Capon, seven-time winner of the People's Choice Award at the New York City Wine and Food Festival Burger Bash. I told him just before he came on, he's responsible for many hours of fine grilling in my household because I watch him. I am a huge, huge fan of Josh's. Josh, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, everybody. I appreciate it very much. It's time to start your engine.
I love it. So tell us about this whole thing about Beef, It's What for Dinner, the 300. Tell us about the deal.
Well, like you said, the Beef Checkoff is partnered with the Daytona International Speedway. You know, we're kicking things off with the Beef, It's What for Dinner 300 on Saturday, February 19th. And I'm here to just make sure everybody's got some great recipes for tailgating, for home gating. I mean, there's about 1,000 RVs in the infield that have been tailgating all weekend long. So I just want to make sure everybody's got some great recipes to have some fun with for the Daytona 500 and all year long.
I love it. So what are your favorite recipes that you cook up during NASCAR season?
I mean, this year I'm going with some shaved thick lettuce cups, which is just thinly sliced steak, pairs perfectly with the bold Asian flavors on the fresh, crisp lettuce for a light dish that packs a serious flavor punch. And I'm also doing, of course, being the 7-time winner of the Burger Bash, we're doing a couple sliders. We got southwestern sliders. We're topping them with a little green salsa, a little bit of mayo and some pepper jack cheese. They're creamy. They're rich. They're spicy and absolutely delicious. If you don't like the spice, go with my famous bacon and onion jam sliders. Caramelized onion and bacon jam, secret sauce, shaved American cheese, and pickles, nothing better.
Yeah, those are good. I've made those. So share your some of your other top cooking tips to help us prepare for the, you mentioned a tailgating going, for the perfect tailgate.
I think the most important thing is really just put all your effort into the prep. When you guys hit the parking lot, I want everything to be ready to go. The only thing that you should have to do once you hit the parking lot is grill your burgers, grill your steaks, char up some beautiful skirt steak for some tacos, but have your salsas, have your caramelized bacon onion jam ready to go so you can enjoy the race with your friends and family, whether in the infield or on your couch, and leave all the other stuff to do ahead of time.
I love it. Hey, Chef, I'd be remiss not to ask this. What else is cooking up in your life? I'm waiting for like a giant cookbook.
Giant cookbooks on the way. I promise there'll be plenty of beef recipes in there for sure. But we're having some fun. We just launched our first NFT restaurant with called the Fly Fish Club. And we're having some fun along the way.
Love it. So where can our listeners go for more information?
For these recipes and so many more, everybody can head to beefiswhatsfordinner.com and have some fun.
All right. I love it. It sounds like you're having fun. Chef, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, everybody. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the races. And enjoy that beef for lunch, dinner, and even breakfast.
All right, Daytona 500 is a big deal to lots and lots of people. Fun to actually go and see it live. The NASCAR Cup champ Kyle Larson won the first Daytona 500 pole. It's interesting. There's so many things that happen leading up to this event, and it is the Super Bowl of NASCAR racing right at the start of the the season. So Denny Hamlin's going to try to take the checkered flag for 4th time in his career. He'll be there Sunday for the Daytona 500, and they kick off that new NASCAR Cup Series schedule. That's what, like I said, this is the Super Bowl, but in reverse. And he's a 17-2 favorite in the odds that were put up on the board at Caesar Sportsbook. Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson, who I just mentioned, are 10-1 odds. Ryan Blaney and 2015 winner Joey Logano round out the top five contenders, 12-1 odds. And we'll see. I mean, there are lots of interesting predictions heading into this for the Daytona 500. I just gave you the top odds, but that just because those are the odds doesn't mean somebody whose odds are longer couldn't break through, have a great 500 and win the whole thing. You know, whether you're talking about Kevin Harvick 18-1, or whether you're talking about one of the Bushes, Kyle or Kurt, they're in that 15-1, 18-1 range. It's fun. What I like about NASCAR is the reverse, is that they do it that this is such a big race and it comes first. And I think it just kind of gets people set up and excited for the season. And it couldn't be bigger. I mean, there's a sport that generates lots of income, provides lots of jobs, and has lots and lots of fans who tailgate forever and a day and love to get in the infield. If you get your RV in the infield, that's a big deal. And are very supportive of whoever it is that they root for, the whatever NASCAR team, whatever individual driver. So Start Your Engines is coming up this week for the big one when the flag goes down. It'll be fun to see what kind of a season they have. I've said this before, you know, like I'm somebody that I definitely, and maybe some of you are like this, I'm open-minded. So I didn't grow up at all around racing. I grew up around hockey or football or, you know, the big four. And I used to think, you know, it's a lot of left-hand turns. And then somebody said, do you think it's a lot of left-hand turns? You come on out here and you see it. And they were right. And I was down there in the pits, you know, by the pits. I went out to all different kinds of racing events, not just NASCAR. And I really saw what it took to get in those cars. And, boy, I changed my mind quickly. They changed my mind. Boo, look at he split. It only took a couple of races. And then I said, oh, I get it now. There is a lot to this. There is a lot more to this, that's for sure. All right, speaking of a lot more, as we have just a couple of minutes here, so many people are talking about Joe Rogan and what happened with Spotify and, you know, what the future holds for Spotify and, you know, will they back up Rogan and everything that's gone on. And I saw an interesting story that what people don't also realize about Joe Rogan is that if you look at what his deal was, people, and I say too, hey, he got $100 million because he had a big fan base, speaking of fans, and that's why they threw that money at him. But now supposedly there was just a big story in the New York Times that said that he's worth up to $200 million. And the story tracks Spotify, their journey to becoming a big podcast kind of behemoth, which has included getting several major podcasting companies. And that part of that was the Joe Rogan experience, right? You know, podcast 90 countries, and even though there's been all these crazy problems with the themes and the accusations of spreading misinformation on not just COVID-19 but other things, the COVID-19 vaccine, and then coming under fire for not moderating the podcast, and Neil Young and Joni Mitchell leaving the audio service, protesting, and then becoming a hashtag delete Spotify that trended on social media. But the CEO said that the company is not interested, just had done a blog about this, in becoming a content censor. So they're kind of straddling the line on what to do, because how many subscribers can they lose? How much of the subscriber base can they lose before it becomes problematic? And, of course, Rogan has said he'd be more moderate in some of his approaches, and he dropped a lot of his archive. They pulled out a little bit of, I shouldn't say a lot, they pulled out a chunk of his archive on the more controversial notes anyway. Music means that I gotta dance off this stage for this hour anyway. Thanks to you and those two guys in the back for hanging out with us. 24/7, hit me up. The miracle of virtual mail. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.